That's who I want to point you to this morning. And that's always been my goal every time I stood up here to preach to you. And I hope you guys have picked up on this, that everything that I've ever said to you, the goal of it was to exalt the name of Jesus so that you would exalt the name of Jesus in your lives. And I hope that in the end, that's what would stand out, that it's all about Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. And sometimes I think that we come to church or we belong to a church, but maybe there are reasons for our faith that isn't focused on Jesus. Like, what is it that keeps your faith alive? What is it that keeps your faith going and growing? For some people, maybe it's the fact that we've built up a good community around us, of friends in our church, and so our relationships are what keep us going, right? And that's sort of what keeps our faith alive. For some of it's like our parents drag us here, right? And so that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us coming, is because our parents bring us, right? It's like maybe we're interested, but it's mostly because our parents brought us that we're actually here sitting in these seats, in these pews. And for others, it's almost like we've been coming for so long, it's just a part of our routine, it's part of what we do. Or maybe we keep going because it's the programs that the church runs, right? Our fellowship is good, Awana's good, BSF is good, so that's what keeps us going. I mean, these things are good, and these things are great even, but where does Jesus himself fit in? I mean, if we're Christians, if we follow Jesus, wouldn't it make more sense that Jesus is the one that should keep us going, right? And shouldn't Jesus, only Jesus, be enough for us, right? Shouldn't Jesus be enough for us to be like, I want to know him. I want to love him. I want to be more like him. But for a lot of us, our faith, our relationship with Jesus isn't dependent on Jesus himself. It's more dependent on how well our church is doing, on how well our fellowship is going, our small group is going. Right? Sometimes it's dependent on things external to us that aren't, but not God himself. So this is what I want to leave you with. It's Jesus. Only Jesus. I want you all to know Jesus in a way that's like, Jesus, that's it, man. That's who I want to live for. Not just my church, not just my family, not just my friends. I want Jesus more than all of that. I want him more than anything. So I'm going to read to you a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And once again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you have your devices with you, I'm going to go back and forth through this passage. If your Bibles, if you have them open as well. So please keep your finger on that. I'm going to be flashing the verse up on the screen as well, so you can follow along there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. I'm going to read it, and then I will pray, and then we'll get going. Excuse me. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Is that coming up, or are we lagging? I think we're having computer issues there. We got it? All right. I'll keep reading. So I'll start from verse 1 again. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us this morning. And Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray for my church, my friends, that God, they would just know you, Jesus. That they would resolve to know just you, Christ and Christ crucified. That all they would desire is to understand you and your gospel more. to know it just not in their minds and to understand it with their heads, but to feel it deep in their souls. And so I pray for all of us. Holy Spirit, would you just be in this place? Would you just speak to us this morning? Jesus, would you be here in your spirit? Would you show us more of you? Would we want to seek more, you more, desire you more than anything else in our lives? So Lord, be our King, be our Savior, God. Pray that we would just open our hearts to more of you. Lord, we know how much you love each and every one of you, us. And so I pray that we would just experience that incredible love of yours, that we'd be willing to receive it, that we'd surrender ourselves to you more. Jesus, help us this morning. Amen. So in a lot of ways, these words of Paul's echoes my own thoughts and feelings as a pastor, right? These are kind of like it's like a pastor writing to his church. And he writes this, he says, I came to you to proclaim the gospel of Christ. I wasn't that eloquent, man. I'm not giving you a lot of wisdom. I'm not trying to come across as a great speaker. I mean, this is what Paul is trying to say here. I mean, this is Paul speaking, right? This is the great apostle, right? The first great Christian missionary, the first real Christian missionary, right? This is the guy. I mean, if it wasn't for this guy and his preaching and his ministry, we might not be sitting here as Christians today. This church might not exist today if it wasn't for Paul. If it wasn't for his writings, we wouldn't be able to understand the gospel the way we do. Right? And other than Jesus himself, now I don't know who else made a bigger impact on our faith. And he's saying, this guy Paul, he's saying, when I came to you to preach about the gospel, I don't know if I did that great of a job. I don't know how well I did. I sure didn't want to be known as a great speaker. And then he says this, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so for me as a pastor, if I could leave one thing with you, it's this. It's that if there's anything that I taught you and preached to you, it's Christ and his gospel. If I can do that, just like the Apostle Paul did, if I can do this, then I would die a happy man. Then I would feel like I fulfilled my calling as a pastor. But sometimes the way I think we judge pastors is like, and myself included, is like, man, is this guy a good speaker? Right? Did he make me laugh? Right? Sometimes we say like, if I didn't fall asleep during my sermon, he did a good job, right? Or maybe it's like, did he have a plan for his church? Did he lead well? Did he care for us? Did he love us? And these things are good to look at, right? These things are things we should be looking at. Like, we should be holding up our pastors up to a higher standard. You should be holding up guys like me to a higher standard. Like, we should be striving for excellence and make the most of our ministries as pastors. But I think the ultimate thing, I think the most important way we can judge our pastors is did he point me to Jesus? Did he point us to Jesus? Did he preach the gospel well? Did he help me understand the gospel better? And I hope and I pray that I did that for you. I hope that I was able to push you towards the immeasurable love of Jesus. Because for all my time here, this has been my prayer, to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But why would Paul say this? I mean, Paul, right? This man was a genius, like we were saying. Read the letter to the Romans. Read Ephesians. Read a sermon to the Areopagus in Acts 17. And you get a glimpse into his brilliance. But that's not the thing he wants to bring to the table, right? That's not what he wants his ministry to be known for. He wants it to come out loud and clear that it's about Jesus and him crucified, not about his genius, not about his intellect, not about his brilliance. Why did he say this? Look at verse 5. It says, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, first of all, this is the goal of Paul's ministry. The why. It's to build faith. This is what the purpose of his ministry is here. He's talking about. This should be the goal of every pastor, every missionary, every Sunday school teacher, every deacon, every worship team member, every usher, every Christian, right? And I hope it's yours, to that everything, everyone you encounter, everyone you talk to, it's to build and strengthen their faith. But look at what Paul says that the basis of faith ought to be. He says it's not in the wisdom of men, right? It's not in more entertaining or relevant teaching or preaching. It's not in better run programs. It's not in better planning or having better techniques on how to disciple people. It's not in having more innovative like visions or strategies for the church. What does he say it's based in? It's based in the power of God. Now, what does that mean, though? Let's look back in chapter 1. Chapter 1. I have it up on the it should be coming up on the screen, but it's not coming up for some reason. Consider your calling, brothers, in chapter 1, verse 26. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, so that no human being might boast. And then you jump down to verse 31. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What I think Paul is trying to get at here that is that as humans, it's so easy for us when we achieve something, we want to take credit for it, right? The context Paul is talking about is here in the church, right? So what happens here even in the church, we as a church, we achieve something, we want to take credit for it. If it's our planning, it's our idea, it's our initiative, we pull together to make this event happen, this project happen. We did it. We did it. We might give credit to God on the surface, but deep inside there's this sense of pride, right? That we're the ones who accomplished it. We planned it out. We pulled together all the resources. We got all the volunteers. We coordinated all the stuff. We made it happen. And Paul's saying, man, this shouldn't happen like this. Your faith shouldn't be based in your own abilities, in your own wisdom. It should be based in God's ability. Your faith shouldn't depend on your own experience or your own wisdom. It should be based on God's wisdom. Your faith shouldn't be built on your own strength. It should be built on the power of God. And look, if you think about it on a practical level, maybe you ask, where does my effort end and God's power begin? Like, how do I balance my own human responsibility and God's ability? Like how do I know if it's my own wisdom or if it's God's wisdom, right? And so here's where I'm going to encourage you in this next season in the life of this church. Look, there might be some of you who are uncertain about what's going to happen in the near future while we're searching for a new pastor. And I get that. There's uncertainty everywhere. But I think this is where, this right here, is where you can tell the difference between resting on the wisdom of men and or resting in the power of God. So if you're concerned about the survival of the church, of this congregation, maybe you're concerned about people leaving the church. You're concerned about the direction of the English ministry now that there's this period where you're going to be without an English pastor leading you or guiding you. And if this is what you're worried about, if this is what you're mainly worried about, I would suggest that maybe you're resting on the wisdom of men. But if you're resting on the power of God, your concern, your worries are going to be so much different. If you're resting on the power of God, you wouldn't be as concerned about the survival of this church. I mean, what are we going to do without a pastor? What are we going to do without leadership? I mean, you should be concerned about this. But if this is your primary concern, maybe you're not resting in the power of God. If you're resting on the power of God, though, your primary concern would be, man, how are we going to come together to build each other's faith? How can the power of the Spirit be demonstrated in our church in this new season? How can we make Christ Jesus and Him crucified? How do we make that known in everything we do? How do we make Christ known in our fellowships, in our worship, in our deacon board meetings, in everything, right? These are completely different concerns, right? I mean, this coming Tuesday, I mentioned earlier, we have this prime opportunity to rest in the power of God, to ask what He would want to do in our church in this next season. We're having this special prayer meeting and fasting where we're gathering together to seek God for the church's future, right? What an amazing opportunity to pray as a community about where we're going, about how we're going to build up our faith together, about how we're going to proclaim Christ and Christ crucified. It's not about planning or strategizing, because that would be resting on man's wisdom, right? But it's about praying and fasting and searching the heart of God. It's asking God how we make Jesus known in this new season of the church. That's resting in God's power. That's resting in the power of God. But let me unpack this a little bit more. Look at how Paul went about this. In verse 3, he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Paul's saying, when I was ministering you, I was freaking out. I was scared. I know my weaknesses. I know where I fall short. I was scared. I was nervous, right? And then he says, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom." In other words, he didn't think that he spoke and taught that well. It wasn't necessarily super insightful. He didn't use fancy words or illustrations or turn a beautiful phrase when he spoke. But maybe it didn't matter to him, right? Because matter of fact, it's almost like he meant for this to happen. He wanted to do this on purpose. Why? Because he didn't want people to be drawn to him. He wanted people to be drawn to Jesus. He didn't want to be exalted. He wanted Jesus to be exalted. He didn't want to be known for his skill and ability. He wanted people to know the power of God and His ability. And can we be that kind of church? Not the kind of church that's known for having a good Awana program or having a good missions program or good planning or management. Not the kind of church that strives to just keep running and existing and to keep our members. But can we be the kind of church that makes known the power of God by making Jesus and Him crucified known? To make Jesus and His gospel known? Because maybe that's all we need to strive for. So church, I encourage you. I encourage you, I challenge you, know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All the other stuff will follow. It's important, but it's going to follow this. Making Jesus, proclaiming Jesus, your priority in everything you do as a church. I mean, let's not worry about how we're going to do this or that so much. Not about how you're going to manage. Worry about who you're doing it for. Then let all your strategies and your programs and your planning flow from that. Because at the end of the day, what's most important isn't how big our church is or how successful our programs are or how nice our building is. What's most important is that we, the church, proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That person is Jesus. Only Jesus. Not His stuff, not what He can do for you, but Him, just Him. And since this is the last time I'm up here as your pastor, I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you. And I'll try, I'll promise not to cry this time. I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for welcoming me and my family into your family. And as I've said before, these past 5 years have been like really quite literally the best time of my life. And it's been such a blessing to have you all embrace Cece and I when we first came, and then embracing Audrey when she came, and how even Nikki belongs to our family, and she's part of the PG family. I like to say that I have the most amazing job because I get a front row seat to watch all of you journey through life. I get to walk with you through all the ups and downs and the highs and lows of life, and I've seen how many of you have grown, not just in maturity, but in your faith and your love for Jesus. And it's been such a special experience for me to have. I've been able to walk through with many of you through ups and downs, and I'm so proud to be able to call you guys friends. And even though I'm a pastor, I'm still part of a team. And so I just wanted to say thank you, especially to those who I had the privilege of serving alongside of. And obviously there's Reverend Law and the pastoral team. It's such a joy to work with them. The many deacons who serve faithfully on the board, or the admin staff ladies who always made me smile, always kept me fed, and without whom I would not have survived. But I really want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who came alongside me for this ride. And God has blessed this church and our congregation with some incredible people. And I've been a recipient of these blessings. And so many of you have rallied around me and made me better. And so many of you have filled the places where I was inadequate, where I was weak, all the places I fell short. And those places where I was weak, you guys were strong. Those of you who took ownership of what we're trying to do here and hopped on the train with me, thank you so much. Thanks for always challenging me. Thanks for always being patient with me. Thanks for always praying for me and always getting my back. Thanks for always being available even when it's been challenging. People have stepped up time and time again. Thanks for always uncovering my blind spots, for always stepping up whenever I force you to volunteer. I am better because of all of you. And this church is better because of you. And so I'm looking forward to hanging out with all of you sometime in the near future and just hearing about all the amazing things that God is doing in your lives and the life of Pacific Grace. God bless you all. I love you all. And let me pray for you right now. Lord Jesus.